Douglas Crook, Wednesday, September 29th, 2010.
Let's open our Bibles this evening to Proverbs chapter 6. We'll begin to consider this sixth chapter of the book of Proverbs. In this sixth chapter of Proverbs, we have several warnings against several different foolish decisions that, as the children of God, we should avoid. There are actions and attitudes and decisions that bring unnecessary ruin and destruction to the lives of God's people. And it's a wise thing if we will avoid them by heeding these instructions. And so we'll begin by reading the first five verses where we have the first warning. Proverbs chapter 6, and beginning at verse 1. My son, if you become surety for your friend, that is a cosigner on his loan, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, and deliver yourself, for you have come into the hand of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. This has to do with finances. What does that have to do with being a wise Christian? Well, actually, it has quite a bit to do with it. The Bible, contrary to how some teach it, the Bible does not forbid either to borrow money or to lend it. Some take passages like this and say the Bible teaches you should never borrow and you should never lend. But that's not what's being taught here, and nor is it taught anywhere else in the Bible. It's not even teaching against being a cosigner on a loan. It does, however, warn against foolish financial transactions that can result in your own financial ruin. Now, under the law of Moses, which of course Proverbs was written under that, under the law of Moses, loaning money was not to be a money-making proposition. Unlike money lending today, which is a very big business, within the economy of Israel, loaning and borrowing money was not forbidden. In fact, it was encouraged with the right attitude and the right circumstances. But you could not do it and charge, a Jew could not charge another Jew interest of any kind. They could borrow and loan, and the money would be paid back, or the food or whatever was being borrowed would be paid back in kind, but you could not gain because of loaning to your brother. Leviticus 25. Let's read the context here so we understand the instruction. Leviticus 25 and verses 35 to 37. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 35. If one of your brethren, a fellow Israelite, becomes poor and falls into poverty among you, then you shall help him. So here, actually, loaning is encouraged. You shall help him like a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with you. Take no usury or interest from him, but fear God. This is why you don't do that. This is why you don't make money off of your brother's misfortune, because you fear God, that your brother may live with you. You shall not lend him your money for usury or interest, nor lend him your food at a profit. But then let's go to Deuteronomy 23, where we do see the law of Moses allowed an Israelite to charge interest, a reasonable interest, of a non-Jew. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 20. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 20. To a foreigner you may charge interest, but to your brother you shall not charge interest, that the Lord your God may bless you in all to which you set your hand in the land which you are entering to possess. Now, that interest that could be charged was to be reasonable. It was not to be outlandish. It was not to be cruel, even to take advantage of a non-Israelite. But in both cases, even in borrowing and loaning between Israelites, and then even especially among foreigners, the sinful flesh of man being what it is, God's will was ignored. It helps us to understand that godliness cannot be legislated. Israel had the law of God. It was the law of the land. How was Israel's spiritual condition? It was pretty miserable, wasn't it? Because man needs to be redeemed. So this area of the law was ignored like all the rest. And so unusually high and unfair interest was charged not only of strangers, but even of Israelites, fellow Israelites. So Proverbs 6 is a warning against falling into the foolish trap that would lead to your own financial ruin by participating in those kinds of financial transactions where, again, there wouldn't be a need to co-sign if there wasn't the unusual interest charged to these loans. And so don't become a co-signer for someone else's loan that could result in you losing your own hard-earned money. Don't be foolish. And the case in Proverbs 6, that if you've already done that, then you need to do anything and everything possible. You need to humble yourself, which is interesting because why would you sign on to such a cosign if you didn't have some arrogance that, well, you can handle this. But Proverbs says, humble yourself and get out of the transaction, whatever it costs you, even if it costs you your dignity. You get out of that trap before it ends up in financial ruin. Let's read some of the other places in Proverbs where it talks about the foolishness of becoming a cosigner on a foolish loan transaction. Proverbs 11 and verse 15. We'll just read all the references here. And then as we come to them throughout the study, we'll just refer back to this. But in Proverbs 11 and verse 15, he who is surety for a stranger will suffer, but one who hates being surety is secure. Then we have the next one in Proverbs 17 and verse 18. A man devoid of understanding shakes hands in a pledge and becomes surety for his friend. Now notice how these are characterized as foolishness. Now it may seem to be generous, it may seem to be wise, it may seem to be a place of strength, but the Bible says that when you do these things, apart from the guidelines of Scripture, it's foolishness and leads to destruction. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 26 and 27. Proverbs 22, verses 26 and 27. Do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge, one of those who is surety for debts. If you have nothing with which to pay, now here's the context. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take away your bed from under you? So here we understand a little more the context of what kind of transaction we're talking about. You should never put your own financial future in the hands of someone else. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have financial advisors or investors. But it does mean that you, after having sought the Lord, the will of God for your own financial decisions, that the decision for your finances is in your hands and not somebody else's. But when you co-sign for someone else, they, in a measure, have control over your financial future, especially when you can't afford for that financial transaction to go sour. When people have asked me this, and surprisingly I've been asked quite often in the ministry, should I loan this person or this brother or sister? Should I co-sign on this loan? You know, they need a car, they need this. Should I, and sometimes it's, a lot of times it's family members, you know, and especially, you know, they're not saved and maybe this would be a way. And so I get a lot of questions, should I do this? And in this area, I have found this to be a sound principle to go by. I advise people not to loan to friends or relatives unless they can afford to never see the money again. Now, you can give it as a loan, and it can be an agreement of a loan, but if you can't give it and afford not to get it back, you don't give it, because you're putting your financial future in their hands. The same thing as co-signing on a loan. If you can't afford to take on the payments, then no matter what it looks like, well, this is good, they need it, they've got a good history, I'm going to do it. If you can't afford, if that, for some reason they're unable to continue with the payments, if you can't afford the payments, you don't do it. It's foolish, and it leads to your own financial ruin. Now, if you will go by that, then there will be times when friends and relatives ask you for money and you pray about it and the Lord gives you liberty, because you know that even if I never see this again, it's all right. Now, you have arrangements, you have agreement, you're going to pay it back. But you give it knowing that if I don't see it, it's all right and I can afford it. And then if God gives you the liberty to do so, then you do it. And it doesn't fall under this warning of foolish financial transactions. Now, some may be asking themselves, what in the world does any of that have to do with being a wise Christian? What does that have to do with spiritual things? Luke chapter 16. Jesus says it has quite a bit to do with it. Many a Christian has fallen short of spiritual fruitfulness, because of foolishness in handling their own finances. So the material world is not disconnected from your finances. And some people try to pretend to be spiritual while being foolish with their finances. And there is not a disconnect there. If you are foolish in your finances, your spiritual life is also out of whack. And there are things that need to be dealt with. And Jesus, in Luke 16, verses 10 and 11, he says this: "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much." What's he saying? Verse 11 makes it clear. He's comparing the material, he's connecting the material world and the spiritual. "Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon," finances, "who will commit to your trust the true riches?" And what is the true riches? The gospel. So there's a connection there. And so we should not ignore. We need to be wise in our finances. And the reason that we want to make the decisions concerning our financial future, and one of the last warnings that we read there in Proverbs, is why should you lose your bed? Because you've entered into a foolish transaction where somebody else determined your financial future. You should be seeking God for your own finances and your own direction, where that you make those decisions because you have surrendered your heart and your mind to the Lord, and therefore your finances as well, in order that the gospel might be promoted, that Jesus Christ would be exalted, and that reproach not be brought to the gospel. Now let's go to the next warning in verses 6 to 11 of Proverbs 6. And this is a warning against laziness. The first one is a warning against foolish transactions. And this, foolish transactions that lead to financial ruin. Here is a warning against laziness, which will have the same result. It will lead to ruin and destruction. So in Proverbs 6 and verse 6, we read this: "Go to the ant, you sluggard." One of the famous words that come from the book of Proverbs. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, it's the only book in which the word is used. It means lazy, but it's beyond physical laziness. As we will see, this kind of physical laziness also impacts and results in spiritual laziness. So once again, there's not a disconnect between the two worlds. "Consider her ways," the ways of the ant, "and be wise, which having no captain, overseer or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. In other words, the ant doesn't need somebody over the shoulder always telling you, this is what you got to do, this is what you got to do. God gave this creature a built-in instinct to work in order to provide for future needs. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. A sluggard certainly is, first and foremost, a person who is physically lazy. They want to sit around or lay around all day and do nothing. No constructive activity whatsoever. And such laziness is not only foolish and destructive to their physical and mental well-being, as well as financial, but we will also find that that leads to moral and spiritual decay. And this is why it is so important for us to teach our children how to accept responsibilities and tasks without murmuring and complaining. And it is something our flesh loves to murmur and complain. So parents, don't be surprised when your kids respond with that kind of response. The flesh is naturally lazy. But this is one of the reasons why we are to teach them to take responsibility and learn to do it without murmuring and complaining. Look at the ant. The ant doesn't need somebody always over them telling them what to do in order to understand there are benefits in the future for doing what we need to right now. We need to teach that to our children. So a good work ethic is something that will have a positive effect not only on people's financial well-being, but on their mental, emotional, and spiritual well-being as well. Let's go to Proverbs 13 and look at some of the other passages that are directed at the foolishness of being lazy. In Proverbs 13, we find that the souls of the lazy want nothing, and they get nothing. Proverbs 13, verse 4, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. There is no desire for that which is good and sound and right, because they simply don't want to put forth any effort. And there's all kinds of other things that fall under that heading of laziness. Some people are afraid to fail, therefore they don't do anything because they don't want to fail. Others, it's just that they have an excuse for everything, as we'll find out later in one of the Proverbs, why they can't do what they should do. But there's just no desire to have what God says we should have. And therefore, guess what? They don't have it. Proverbs 19. There's no initiative because there's no desire. A lazy person has no initiative. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Now that seems, you know, you get the picture, and it's somewhat funny. How many have had children go to sleep at the dinner table and sometimes end up face first in their food? Anybody have that? Every now and then you'll see those pictures where a child is just eating and then ends up with his face in the bowl. The picture is that it's not that when we're talking about lazy people, when we speak of a sluggard, we're not speaking of those who, because of circumstances beyond their control, are unable to work or don't have the opportunity to work, but those that, despite the opportunity to succeed and even excel, they choose to do nothing. Here the picture is the bowl is right there. In fact, their hand is in it. This person's not benefiting from the food that's in his bowl, not because he doesn't have food, but because he's too lazy to put it in his mouth. And so a sluggard is one who has every opportunity to succeed and yet chooses not to. I get a lot of requests for financial help from people as a pastor. Some people think it's Abundant Grace Bank. And so I get a lot of calls for help from those who simply refuse to help themselves because they are both physically and spiritually lazy. Now, when I say that, understand, there are those who find themselves in difficult times, but who truly have a desire to work, have a desire to supply their own needs. They are not sluggards, they are not lazy, but they are struggling through difficult times. God will help those who find themselves in those difficult times, especially when we're talking about God's people who look to Him in faith. God will help those who follow His wise instruction in these areas. Now, lest you misunderstand that, there is a popular saying that some think is scriptural, but in fact is contrary to scripture, and that is, the Lord helps those who help themselves. But that's not a scriptural statement. A scriptural statement would be, God helps those who humble themselves and heed His wise counsel not to be lazy. And in doing that, let's go to Philippians 4:13 so we understand where our energy is in doing what is necessary to supply our own needs. It is a humbling thing. It's not a self-sufficiency in self. A part of humbling ourselves and heeding God's wise instruction is to learn to depend on Him for our strength and our wisdom to occupy ourselves in doing the will of God. Instead of being lazy, we look to God for the energy and the instruction to do what will truly bring us success in life, what will truly enable us to excel in doing the will of God. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So do you see the two sides here? We're talking about someone who does. I can do all things. It's not I don't want to, I can't. It's I can do all things, but then the dependency and the strength that to do those things is through and in and by Christ Jesus. The book of passage in the Amplified reads this way. I have strength for all things in Christ, that is, in His will, who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I like that. It's amplified. It's expanded. But I think it expresses, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A lazy person does not understand that passage and does not seek for it to be a reality in their life. If you are physically lazy, you are a reproach to your Lord and Savior. And your physical laziness will also have an impact on your spiritual life. You will be every bit as lazy spiritually as you are physically. Proverbs 20 and verse 4. The lazy don't get their tasks done on time. And not only do they pass the deadline and the opportunity, it's because they wait until it is no longer a possibility. Proverbs 20 and verse 4 says, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. Well, I should plow. I should get to it. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. Well, now I've got something else I want to do. Before long, the opportunity to plant, to have a harvest, is already passed. There's only a certain window in which you can do that. And if you keep putting it off, a lazy person procrastinates to the point of losing the opportunity to succeed. There are those who like to wait till the last minute to get things done, but do get it done. That's different than a sluggard. That's different than a lazy person. This is true in their natural responsibilities as well as in the spiritual life. Ephesians 5 tells us that there are opportunities spiritually for spiritual success that we must take advantage of when they present themselves. But if we say, you know, not now, then you are a spiritual sluggard who will find themselves spiritually poor. And when the time comes when you need the harvest, and that includes in this life, not to mention in eternity, when you need the fruit of righteousness and the benefits and the blessings of a life of wisdom, it won't be there because you didn't take advantage of the opportunities. Ephesians 5:14. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Literally, buying up the opportunities, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or waste, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Too many of God's people are not buying up the opportunities to do the will of God and to have God's best. And there's only a certain time. Now, you can say all of this life, but this life is soon past. But I believe that there are opportunities that we have. Now, God is a gracious God. He is long-suffering, and he has given us many times a number of opportunities to do what we should do for his glory and for our good and for the edification of the body of Christ. But I believe there comes a time when God says, you know, there was a time to plant and you didn't plant. Now there will be no harvest. And it's because many of God's people are not buying up the opportunities. They are lazy concerning their prayer life. Well, I'll pray another day. They are lazy to assemble themselves together for their own edification and for the edification of others. Well, it's not all that important. And so they keep putting it off, and they keep putting it off. But one day, it will be too late. And they will wake up to find that there is no harvest, and their poverty will be seen. Proverbs 21. Again, when we're talking about a sluggard, we're not talking about those who find themselves in difficult circumstances that are no fault of their own. But we are talking about those who have the opportunity, both physically and spiritually, to do the will of God. And though they have those opportunities, they refuse to do it. That's a sluggard. That's a lazy person. Verse 25, Proverbs 21 says, the desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. Proverbs 22, verse 13. I have found this to be very true. Proverbs 22 and 13. The lazy man says, there's a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. I can't go out there and plant. I can't go out there and do this or that that I know I should do because there's a lion out there. I have seldom had someone tell me that they were not going to do what they should do because, you know, I'm just too lazy and I don't want to. I've yet to have a lazy person tell me that. You know, I'm just too lazy. I don't want to do that. They always seem to have what they believe to be a good excuse why they cannot and will not do what they know to be the will of God. there's a lion out there. Well, even if that's true, because in the agriculture of Israel, a farming community, there very easily could have been a real lion outside there somewhere. But how many of you know farmers that have dealt with coyotes or wolves? And if a farmer knows that there's a lion or a bear or a wolf on his farm, he's not going to stay inside his house, not the farmers I know. Now, he'll take his gun with him, but he'll go about and do his chores, whatever needs to be done, he's going to do it. And if the lion happens to show up, then he'll deal with it then. But a lazy person, I'm going to stay here. Because the lion is only an excuse. And what we have to realize concerning the will of God is there is never a justified excuse for not doing the will of God. Now, we know that we have an enemy that does go about like a roaring lion. So we do know there's an enemy out there. But if we become paralyzed with fear, it will cause us to fail to obtain God's best in this life and in eternity. What we do is we go out and face whatever obstacles are out there, and they are out there. The enemy is out there. And there are problems and there are many obstacles. But the opposite of a sluggard is a faithful steward. Rather than being lazy, you be faithful. You do what you do because you know it's the will of God. That's why first it's essential you know the will of God. That's what we read in Ephesians. Know the will of God. And then it's important that we simply do the will of God because it is the will of God. Not because it feels good. Not because it's convenient, not because it's popular, not because people like it or they pat you on the back. You do what you do, you say what you say because you know it's the will of God. It's that simple. That's how we live our life. Acts 20, verse 22. The Apostle Paul was the opposite of a sluggard. He was made aware that the lions were very real. The obstacles were very real for him doing what he knew to be the will of God. But this was his response in Acts 20, verses 22 to 24. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things, that is, not the specifics, the details that will happen to me there, except, he knows this much, that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. The lion's outside. But none of these things move me. Nor do I count myself, my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Which of these two attitudes characterize us? The lazy man, who has every opportunity to excel in doing the will of God, but chooses not to and makes excuses for it. Or the Apostle Paul, the faithful steward that says, this is the will of God. There are obstacles, but by his grace, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Proverbs 24 and verses 30 to 34. We see the slow but steady deterioration of the wealth and health, the well-being of the lazy person, whether it be physical or spiritual. Proverbs 24 and verses 30 to 34. I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. And when I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. The time to deal with weeds is when you first see the weed. If you put off killing or pulling the weed when you see it, before long, the weed has taken over the field. So you deal with the weed when you see the weed. The time to deal with a broken wall, a stone wall, is the moment you begin to see the wall cracked. But a lazy person sees the crack and says, you know, I'll get around to fixing it. And then the rain comes, and the cold, and the ice, and the deterioration little by little, then you begins to pop a rock off, and it falls to the ground. Well, you got one stone. You know, it's just one stone. The rest of the wall looks pretty good. I'll get to that next week. Well, and then before long, you got one stone, and before long, your wall is fallen. Your fields are overgrown with weeds. It didn't happen overnight, but because a little neglect here and a little neglect there leads to this total ruin. Sometimes the final ruin, whether it be financial or spiritual, the final ruin seems to come all of a sudden, just like an armed person breaking into your house. You know, that's kind of sudden. They break in the house and, oh, you know. Sometimes the ruin and the disaster seems to come that way, but in the life of a lazy person, you will always be able to look back and to see there were signs all along of decay. Financial ruin usually doesn't happen overnight. You can go back and look at foolish financial decisions, one right after the other. It wasn't that just one decision led to this total disaster. It was foolish practice after foolish practice. The same is true with spiritual ruin. Seldom does it happen all at once. Sometimes it does, but more often than not, it's a weed of sin is left unjudged, or an opportunity to do the will of God is ignored. Well, you know, I know the Lord wants me to do that. Read my Bible, pray, assemble myself together. I know that's the will of God, but I'll get to it later. And you leave it, and the deterioration begins, and then all of a sudden you wake up and wonder, how did my life get like this? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. That's how. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. When we leave the daily things left undone, in the natural or in the spiritual, one day you're going to wake up and discover your life is in deplorable condition. The fields are full of weeds, and the walls are broken down. This is why we read in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, catch us the foxes, those little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Oh, they're just little creatures. They're kind of cute. Not that big a deal. You know, it's not like it's a lion, but it's those little foxes that can destroy the whole harvest. This is why Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:58, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Don't be lazy, but be abounding in the work of the Lord. Paul told Timothy not to neglect the gift that was in him, but to meditate on the things that would lead to success and spiritual progress in his life, that others would see that progress and he would save himself and others. Hey, let's see. I better go ahead and finish this so we can finish this section. One more passage in Proverbs 26, verse 16. Sadly, the lazy person often consider themselves to be wise. They have good excuses, they think, and they think that their laziness is actually wise. Verse 16 of Proverbs 26 says, the lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. Many times when I've counseled those that I believe to be lazy, more often than not, spiritually lazy, My counsel to them is mocked as being foolish legalism. Oh, Brother Doug, you're too strict. You're too serious. When I see that there's some neglect, especially in their spiritual life, when I see there's some neglect there and I address it and say, you know, this may be a small thing right now. It might just be a rock that's fallen from the stone. You know, your wall's still basically good and sound, but you really need to fix that. A lot of times my counsel is mocked. You take things too seriously. But I believe when a stone falls from a stone wall, we've got a stone wall out here, and there are times when I've found cracks in the wall that after I've seen it the next day, I go get some mortar and I fix it. And you know why? Because if I don't, water gets behind there, and before long it's going to pop it off. And then when one pops off, then another pops off. And so before long, instead of having a little crack, you've got a major overhaul because you didn't address the issue when it presented itself. And this is so important in your spiritual life. When the Holy Spirit points to something, an attitude, an action, an association, something in your life, that the Holy Spirit says, you know, you need to deal with this. Do not ignore it. Don't be lazy. Because if you do, you may think you're wise, but your foolishness will be exposed. Well, I think we'll close there this evening. May we not fall into the foolish and destructive practice of either physical or spiritual laziness. I'm glad that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.